What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is May 14th, 2024. I'm Trey. That's Mark. This is Weekly Skews. How you doing, Mark?
Good, man. I was just combing my beard a few minutes ago, and I found some dried almond butter in it, so that was cool. Real self-esteem
hippie
boost.
Look at you.
Yeah, my wife can't have peanuts for some, I don't know. Doesn't matter. She's got, my wife can't have anything, basically. She's got
dietary restrictions. With the peanuts, like a rescue dog. If someone has peanuts near her, her throat closes up, like that type of peanut situation?
No, it just upsets her stomach. So, pretty much everything. It's like no dairy, no red meat. It's not like, not out of like some vegan hippie stuff. She just can't eat it. I'm trying to think of what else. Garlic, onions. I can't even.
Nightshades, gluten.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you have do you have anything like that, or do you care to know? Because I've had stomach issues most of my life, in addition to being a fat kid. And when I first met our buddy Drew, y'all know Drew, he went this whole thing. He's like, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Have you tried eliminating that from your diet? And I was like, no. Fuck you talking about? Like, I'm not gonna do that. And he's like, but it could be those things. I was like, well, I guess I'm just gonna live with this because I'm not gonna do that because that's the kind of stubborn hillbilly dipshit I am. But yeah,
it makes I know people with celiac disease will sleep bread and drink beer because like they think it's worth the trade off. And the trade off is, of course, dying of stomach cancer eventually. But there we go. So a couple things before we get to the show. Lindsey Graham went on TV over the weekend and suggested that we nuke Israel, nuke Gaza. And I guess, you know, you got to nuke something. So everybody's still being very sane. Big quick Kristi Noem update. I guess she wrote in her book that she canceled a meeting with France's President Macron, Emmanuel Macron, and because he tweeted for a ceasefire. She said that was pro-Hamas. She canceled hanging out with him, to which the French government heard about this and responded, who?
Right, of course. The idea that, like, oh, she really showed the president of France, the governor of South Dakota, or whatever she was when she this story purportedly happened, that the president of France would be like, oh, no, get her back on the phone. Are you sure? Can we talk her into it, please? I'll take it back, I promise. Like, of course South the president Dakota. Of France doesn't give a fuck about meeting the president of South Dakota. No offense, Matt, producer Matt, South Dakota. But, I mean,
South Dakota has severed diplomatic ties with the country of France. They say parlez-vous, dipshit. According to a preliminary count for the National Centers for Environmental Information, there have been 547 tornadoes in America documented from January through April. The year-to-date average is usually around 338 between 1991 and 2020. So we now have 209 more tornadoes, a 62% increase in America over the first 5 months of this, 4 months of this.
That's a lot of naders, Mark. That's a whole lot of naders. And like, I had a real, when I was probably like 5 or 6, there was a tornado, like a F1 tornado in my town. And I remember my grandma, my mama cat, shoving me and my sister in a bathtub and throwing pillows on her head and stuff, and it scared the fucking shit out of me. And I've always had a whole thing with tornadoes ever since. And then my wife's from Wayne County, where they had a legit F5 just leveled everything. So like, I don't tornadoes, they don't hit for me, Mark. I don't know where you stand on tornadoes. I mean, they're, you know, I guess they're awesome in an objective sense, but they don't I'm not in favor of there being twice as many tornadoes rampaging through my homeland every year because we refuse to do anything about climate change.
Big tornadoes are pretty rare where I'm from, but my hometown did get hit with one like 6 or 7 years ago that devastated it pretty badly. It's a factor here that we're gonna have to get into. Matt wanted to do a whole episode on it at some point. Maybe we will, but like mobile homes where more and more Americans live because they can't afford actual houses are apparently only rated for hurricane winds, depending on wind zones or something. So that's a pretty big oopsie that mobile homes, very common tornado alley, are built to withstand hurricanes.
That don't even make any sense. That'd be like my house in Burbank being rated for flood damage or something,
right,
you know what I mean? As opposed to earthquakes. Like, you should probably do the earthquake thing. We live in Earthquake Central. Yeah. Uh-huh. Same thing, but with I get that there's a lot of trailers in Florida where they have hurricanes, but still, the entire South is in fucking Tornado Alley. Maybe also take that into consideration.
Yeah. I mean, over here in the western end of the San Fernando Valley, I'm going to put a tiger trap in my yard. That ought to work. We're prepared for all contingencies over here. But our subject of like how to deal with, rapidly rising home prices. This story was pretty fun. Michigan woman kicked out after police discovered she had been living inside a grocery store sign for a year. Now, this is purely funny because apparently she had money for a place to live. She just preferred to live in this grocery store sign.
Respect the hustle, buddy. Why not? You know, if you got what you need, got it covered, yeah. Save that money. Rent. The rent is too damn high. You know, if you got a sweet grocery store sign set up, hey, go for it.
Yeah, she had to put a mini desk, some flooring, and a pantry of food and a houseplant up there, according to the cops. The construction workers, what they did was they found an extension cord leading up there. We're like, wait, somebody's living in this sign. And the cops are really funny here. They gave her the nickname Rooftop Ninja because they didn't want to release her name because they didn't charge her with anything. They just made her leave the sign. But this quote, this is like,
so she was white then, I assume.
Yes, I assume. The official police spokesperson said they were like, OMG, someone is living in that sign.
Like, totally for real, someone's living in that sign. I'm not even kidding you guys.
Let's all move into signs, man. My rent's too fucking high. Let's live in the signs.
There was a story a few years ago, and I'm pulling this out of my butt off the, you know, but there, some guy in Chicago was like living in a drawbridge. It was a similar thing, like the drawbridge control room or something. And this dude had like, he had a PlayStation in there. He had a TV set up. He had the whole thing set up. He was like pulling off of their power and shit. He would have like, I don't know about parties, but like he'd have people over. He'd entertain in his drawbridge hovel that he had or whatever. And it's like, where, I mean, you know, if you pull it, I mean, that's like, dude, that's like maximum level of homeless. I mean, it's not even homelessness. You got a home, you're just pulling it off. But that's like, you know, that's the Michael Jordan of alternative homing situations. You figure out something like this, you know, good for them.
It's America, man. Everybody's got a hustle. Hers wasn't hurting nobody. Leave her, put her back in the sign, man. Let her back in the sign.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, let's get into it. Producer Matt is with us as always, pulling the strings, doing the things. This is Weekly Skews. I want to remind y'all before we continue about a couple of items of business. First, if you want to see me do stand-up comedy live in person, and of course you should want that, go to treycrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour dates. I'll be in Oklahoma City this weekend, then Buffalo and Pittsburgh the weekend after that, and a lot of fun places coming up, so go to treycrowder.com. Also, at treycrowder.com, you can find a link to me and Corey's book, Round Here and Over Yonder, a comedic travel guide around these United States and England and Scotland. If you want to hear us read it in our dumb voices, you can get it on audiobook as well. Also, if you enjoy this program and would like to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon. You go to weeklyskews.com/more, or just go to Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. $5 a month gets you access to full-length bonus episodes. Like we do two a month. We talk about things we can't get to on Skews Day or just things we want to talk about. We do Skew and A's. It's a lot of fun. So you get some bonus skews in your life and support the show in the process. So please, we hope you will consider it. Now, as for the show tonight, we're going to be answering or at least ruminating upon a number of questions, such as, are tariffs good? Should lab-grown meat be banned? Should paying for your prescriptions require a second mortgage? Will big oil give Donald Trump an actual $1 billion? We'll dive into all those and more with some fun stuff along the way. But first, of course, we begin with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, the residents of Gotham who don't realize that the Joker would really be tough on crime if Batman would just stop throwing him in Arkham Asylum. This is from Senator Roger Marshall of Kansas.
Law and order. Joe Biden is on the way out. That President Trump will be the president of law and order. He's going to secure our borders. He's going to have the back of our law enforcement officers. This is the number one defining issue. Going back to your first segment here, this is why the polls are rising for Donald Trump, because the people know that Donald Trump will be the president of law and order.
Well, maybe, but first he's got to get through all these indictments. Are you working?
I got to say, old Bartiromo, you know, she hit for me right there. Probably unintentionally, I would imagine. But yes,
absolutely unintentionally.
Yes, but she did. She did bring it in that particular situation.
Yeah. So this will serve as our Trump trial update, where Michael Cohen was testifying for a few days this week. This is from today, where he's being cross-examined by Trump's attorney, Todd Blanche. Blanche, you referred to President Trump as a Boris cartoon misogynist. Cohen, sounds like something I would say. Blanche, you referred to President Trump as a Cheeto-dusted cartoon villain. Cohen, that sounds like something I would say. I don't know. His lawyers fucking suck to a degree.
Of course. Well, dude, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world. I know he's a former president, but look at the way he has treated his lawyers over the years, or also just anyone who works for him. But like, I don't know why anybody, I mean, I do, I get it. People always want to, you know, grasp at notoriety and fame and that type of thing. But still, dude, being his lawyer is a losing proposition in every respect. And he'll throw you under the bus as soon as he can. He won't even pay you for your time. You know, it's like, it's no wonder to me that he has dipshits running his case at this point, considering how he's acted.
And I get what they're trying to do. He's trying to establish that Cohen has an actual animosity towards Donald Trump, so he might not be honest or might be presenting his evidence in like the worst possible light. But to try to get to that point by eliciting insults that make the jury laugh at your client's expense, it seems like a bad strategy to me. So, but like the prosecution tried to, push back against this already, pre-butted, I guess I would say, by they introduced a bunch of text messages and evidence from Cohen to his daughter. Who, you know, this was over a decade. She was an early teenager when it started, and later on, where it basically shows how sycophantic he was in pursuit of defending Donald Trump to try to establish that when he was doing all this stuff, he was absolutely on Donald Trump's side.
Yeah, right.
Right. But like it resurfaced this passage from Cohen's book that I just want to read to you. This is like the fact Cohen didn't, the biggest red flag here to me is that Cohen didn't turn on him when this happened. Let me read from the book here. Somehow Trump's attention was diverted to another skirt walking off a tennis court. "Look at that piece of ass," Cohen recalls Trump saying as he whistled and pointed. "Oh, God," like a cartoon wolf. I'm adding that myself. "I would love some of that," he said. It so happened that Trump was referring to Cohen's then 15-year-old daughter, Samantha. Cohen informed Trump of his mistake. "That's your daughter," Trump responded. "When did she get so hot?" When Samantha reached her dad, Trump asked her for a kiss on the cheek before inquiring, "When did you get such a beautiful figure?" and warning her that in a few years he would be dating one of her friends. Can we pause the show so I can go fucking take a shower?
It's like, a lot of people have already been, a lot of people on the MAGA side have been, they're trying to like discredit Michael Cohen by being like, this guy, he's a sycophantic opportunist. Look what he's doing, whatever. And what the thing I keep thinking, and I said this in a video made today, is like, oh yes, unlike all those paragons of virtue that typically testify in a criminal conspiracy case or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like it's always lower level criminals rolling over on the higher level, the bigger fish. That's how the whole thing works, you know? And it's like, we've accepted that for years, and no one's ever like, you can't trust this guy. He's a mafia hitman or whatever. It's like, as long as if they have supporting evidence, like you mentioned, if there's like things that corroborate what they're saying and it fits with the case as presented, then that's what matters. But in this situation, they're trying to act like you can't believe a word this guy says. And it's like, I don't think this dude is worse than like, you know, I don't know, fucking the Iceman or any of these other, I don't know, Tony the Meatball. I don't know mafia stuff, but like real bad mafia witnesses, you know, they're not good people. They're not PTA members. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's not the important part, but everybody's acting like it is in the case of Michael Cohen specifically.
It's also like my dad had to testify in a criminal proceeding once about one of his employees had stolen some stuff from a job site. And the guy's attorney was basically interrogating my dad about like, basically trying to allege that my dad was in on it. And my dad had some hustles on the job site, but this is down to be one of them. And the guy was like, how do you know you wouldn't, do you remember where you were that day? He goes, no, but I wasn't doing that. And he goes, well, why do you know you weren't doing that? Because I know I wouldn't do that. Right. And that's like, and it's a funny way to put it, but like, what is like, how come all of my business associates turn out to be fucking criminals and grifters? Right. What is it? What a coincidence, like, especially because like the whole Michael Cohen's a convicted liar thing is true, but it's convicted of lying to defend Donald Trump. So like it's like this circular logic here that's pretty fucking hilarious. But like the trial, I don't know what's going to happen. It feels like open and shut case to me, but juries are juries. But the real circus here is outside where a bunch
Mark, on that note, why is that? Has that been happening every week? I feel like this week, do they have tickets to this? Like, I feel like this week, they're all showing up. Like J.D. Vance showed up, Tommy Tuberville showed up, Mike Johnson showed up, Vivek showed up. Like, have they been doing this the other week? Like, what happened? Is this is the headliner week because Cohen is testifying? Is that why they all showed up? Because that's when the most cameras were going to be on them. But yeah, it's a whole, it, like you said, it's a whole circus going on.
They're doing a couple different things. They're one, they're kissing Trump's ass. Two, they're auditioning to be vice president, a lot of them. And three, they're just, you know, they're operating as ventriloquist puppets to get around Trump's gag order to deliver his insults for him.
There you go. Right.
But like, so here, like let's start. But Lisa Murkowski, who otherwise sucks, was asked today if she's going to go to Trump's trial. And she says, why would I sit through a stupid porn trial? Don't we have better things to do? And I was like, well, that's the sanest thing this lady said in a while. Mm-hmm. But so here's Speaker Mike Johnson outside the courtroom today doing, I don't know, the first thing I said, which is trying to get around the gag order.
The crime that they are accusing President Trump of is falsification of business records. But I think everybody knows he is not the bookkeeper for his company. President Trump is innocent of these charges.
Okay. So this takes this piece by piece. All right, this is Mike Johnson's a guy who admitted that he and his son monitor each other's porn intake. He's out here publicly lying on behalf of a man and cheating on his wife with a porn star.
Uh-huh.
You got to wonder, how did I get here? I mean, he knows how I got here. He wants power, whatever. But it's also like the people that think Trump should be responsible for managing the entire federal government don't think he was responsible enough to know what was happening in his boutique real estate company.
Yeah.
The Trump organization is not super huge. It does have 20,000 employees total. I looked it up according to their own Wikipedia, which is probably inflated. So there you go. But like, it's worth noting here that part of the testimony is like various people have testified that Trump insisted on personally signing most of the organization's checks himself because he wanted to approve every expenditure because he's a micromanaging dipshit who's cheap as fuck. And I want to remind everybody here that 1990. Spy magazine played a prank on a bunch of the world's New York's wealthiest people, 56 people. They sent everyone a check for $1.11, and half of them cashed $1.11. They keep cutting them out in half and sending checks back out. They got down to 13 cents. They sent the 13 cents checks out, and two people cashed them. One was an arms dealer, and the other one was Donald Trump. All right. So the idea that this cheap fuck wouldn't be personally approving a $130,000 expenditure is ridiculous on its face, but whatever.
I mean, dude, I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm kind of like, I don't know. I guess it makes, everybody talks about how, the whole time when he was running for it, they were like, oh, you know, he's going to run America like a business. And that's what this country needs. Right. That's what everybody said. And then now that they're talking about the inner workings of his business or whatever, they're like, he didn't know nothing about that. How's he supposed to know about that? Which is your whole mm-hmm. point. And I agree with it, but I am kind of surprised that he was born on third base and that whole thing with his dad or whatever. But I'm kind of surprised to hear that he is that he's this much of a micromanager, this actively involved in it, just because I would have assumed that every one of his businesses would have flamed out spectacularly almost immediately the whole time. I know he fucking put casinos under and Trump University and the stakes and all that. I know, but I'm just saying, I'm kind of surprised he ever pulled anything off. Now knowing that he actually was this, he was involved in this level of minutia or whatever with it, because I wouldn't have thought he could do that. Frankly.
Well, there's a key point you're missing, which is like he pivoted to whole different industries. Like his real estate businesses did not work out. He went bankrupt. The casinos went under. He extracted wealth from it, but the businesses themselves didn't work. And then he pivoted to just selling his name and likeness. Now the important thing there is there's no expenditure for it. You're just taking money for doing that. You're just selling right. your name and doing commercials. So the Trump stakes wasn't. I don't know if he owned it, but it wasn't his money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's and then he hosted The Apprentice and like that. You can't lose money being a host of a TV show.
Sure.
So So Speaker Johnson talking about getting around the gag order. He basically. The thing Trump's banned from doing, which is pointing out that the judge's daughter works in Democratic politics, he ran his mouth about that. Such a brilliant scheme to get around the gag order to have other people do it. You might be like, well, how do I know I'm doing that? Tommy Tuberville went on TV and said they're doing that. The dumbest senator. He went on TV. Forget taking notes on a criminal conspiracy. He went on video and confessed to a criminal conspiracy. They're basically tagging each other in like a WWE tag team to do death threats. Way to go. The vice presidential sweepstakes part of this is pretty funny. If you got this picture, Matt, throw it up of four congressmen there, all wearing the exact same outfit. they're just all dressed like Trump. That That's Governor Burgum of North Dakota, who ran the primary for a little bit, who used to say mean stuff about Trump because he's one of those conservatives that pretends to have integrity. Like, he wouldn't dare do this stuff. But today he called it a sham trial, a scam trial.
Right.
Republican Andy Biggs, congressman from Arizona, who's not in this picture, but he went on Twitter and basically insinuated that Trump is only being prosecuted because of an expansive federal government that has too many things be illegal. Which, how many few people run into federal law enforcement is kind of funny, but he said, let me quote here, the average American commits 3 felonies a day. I don't think I do.
No, I got to say, I feel like insecure right now. I'm like, I need to step my game up. I think I'm committing almost 0 felonies a day, generally speaking. But yeah,
I probably commit 30 misdemeanors, but felonies, right. I don't think I commit any felonies.
Yeah, living in California, I was trying to think, being totally honest and upfront here, like, you know, I used to partake in weed and shit in Tennessee. That's a crime. But out here in commie utopia, you know, I feel like I don't want the feds to come after me, but, you know, I will bet on sports occasionally, and I live in California, so that's a crime. So I'm at least committing some crimes, so that makes me feel better because I'm falling well short of Andy Biggs's standard. But it's also like the way they, like, tell on themselves so much, you know what I mean? It's like the whole idea of, like, every white person is racist. We're just saying it out loud. We're the only ones that have the balls to say it. And it's like, we're not all actually racist, buddy. And they cannot believe that that's true. Even if you tell them that, they're like, you're just afraid. The left has cowed you. You've been cowed. You're afraid to admit the truth. It's like, no, I'm genuinely not racist. And they just can't buy that. This is a similar type of thing where it's like, we're all committing crimes all the goddamn time. It's like, I don't know that we are, man. I don't think that's true. Most people try to lead a good life, actually, I think.
Yeah, that kind of brings up the next thing I want to get to. So we'll come back to this video in a second, Matt. But like, so Rick Scott went out there and talked about how this is like, he got railroaded just like Donald Trump did when he was like, his company was brought down on federal charges. Now, the fact why he would bring this up, I don't know. Rick Scott, he was CEO of a company called Columbia, which changed its name to HCA, which is like, they're like a big company that runs urgent care clinics and surgery centers and the like. And they got in trouble and faced a federal fraud investigation over Medicare. As the FBI got into it, Scott resigned. But he still faced a lot of scrutiny, including a famous civil deposition where he asserted his Fifth Amendment rights 75 times, which worked. He did avoid criminal charges. But eventually the company pleaded guilty to 14 felonies, was fined $1.7 billion for the biggest Medicare case fraud in American history at that time. What they were doing was offering executives financial incentives in exchange for patient referrals, which, if you're getting your health care and your doctor's referring you somewhere for any reason other than that's a procedure you need by the best doctor to give it, that seems pretty shitty to me. And Rick Scott brought that up as an example of federal law enforcement getting railroading somebody. Fuck him. Whatever. These people to get out there and be like, well, of course we don't have any credibility. Nobody has any credibility. We're all criminals and liars and sex players. And they wonder why, when Laura Ingraham asks the questions like she does in this video, that it's so obviously farcical on its face. Hit play, Matt.
How do you get to the point where you think Stormy Daniels and Jughead Cohen are more credible than Donald J. Trump?
How do you get close to getting it. So right. close to getting it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's wild. Again, the thing that amazes me the most consistently and repeatedly about them is the complete lack of self-awareness that comes with being the way that they are. But anyway,
I think my favorite genre of these videos, when they say something that's totally accurate, but don't get what
they're saying. They hate it. I know. They do it all the time. Right. It's like, you remember that it was like a famous thing. It went viral when Sean Hannity, when AOC was just coming up, she hadn't been elected yet. And it was, she just became a thing. And he was like, he posted a thing. It was like, this is lunatic's actual platform. And it's like, poor people should be allowed to live. Gay people are humans too. You know, and I'm exaggerating a little bit for effect, but not that much. It was just a bunch of things that I read and I was like, those are all great ideas, you know, and they're like, this is ruining our country. All right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, our first honorable mention for Daily Dumbasses, anyone who thought Republican primaries wouldn't devolve into everyone trying to out-Immortan Joe each other. It's apocalyptic out here, y'all. Check this shit out. FBI, open
up! I'm Derek Evans, and on January 6th, I stood with President Trump to peacefully and patriotically protest the stolen election. Then the same weaponized deep state going after President Trump came to my home, ripped me away from my wife and my four young children, and held me hostage as a January 6th political prisoner. But I'm not giving up. I'm running with President Trump to help him drain the swamp once and for all. I'm endorsed by Trump warriors such as Roger Stone, Mike Lindell, General Flynn, and Veterans for Trump. On May 14th, vote MAGA, vote Derek Evans for Congress.
All right, you cut it, Matt. So... this guy, Derek Evans, today's primary day in it's election day in Maryland, Nebraska, and West Virginia. A lot of primaries going on. We're going to have a bunch of weirdos to kick around going forward. I feel like we're going to talk about a couple of them in a minute. But like you'll notice that like Evans started that ad, campaign ad, with very dramatic footage of FBI raid that's purportedly him being dragged away from his wife and kids for doing January 6th. The thing is, a reporter filmed his actual arrest, which feels more pertinent to me because it's a sad loser being hauled away while his grandma is mad at him. So here we go.
Yes. Let's please watch this. I liked this. This is his actual arrest, what actually happened. No, no door kicking, no window busting, none of that. This is how it actually went down. Hit it, Matt. Oh, no. Oh,
I took
Lord.
It down? Oh,
I
no.
guess they delete. Oh, this really upsets me because I like this video a lot. All right. Well, yeah, while okay. I talk for a minute, Matt, click it again
I'll describe
and see
it.
If it works. But
no, I just clicked on it. It got deleted for whatever reason.
God damn so, it. This sucks. So, I love so this lady. Her voice, everything about his mamaw in this video hit for me. This is Derek Evans' actual mamaw in West Virginia. And she's great. She's great.
So he's basically been calmly walked to his car in handcuffs. They let him get his jacket on so he wouldn't be cold and stuff. And his grandma is like, the reporter asked her if she'd like to say anything on his behalf. She goes like, he's a good boy. And thank you, Donald Trump, for inviting him to a riot outside of the White House. I know she got the location wrong, but whatever. But like the point was she immediately understood it was Donald Trump's
fault.
She
blamed Donald Trump for it immediately. She was like, oh, he means well. He's just a dumbass. She didn't say that, but that's what I heard. She's like, no, he's a good boy, but Donald Trump led him astray. And thanks a lot, Donald Trump, for inciting a riot. And I mean, she literally says that. And yeah, I just wonder what his mamaw's thinking right now. That's why he's reframing all this shit.
Right. What if the propaganda is changing her mind about what happened that she clearly understood in the moment? So the Republican primaries in West Virginia have gotten fucking insane. So because Joe Manchin's retiring, Jim Justice, the sitting governor, is running for Senate, is probably going to have a shoe-in election as the Republican senator from West Virginia. And so it's kind of it's become completely around transgender issues, which is crazy because West Virginia has already banned transgender healthcare. And they're getting really nasty, basically accusing each other of being over who's more pro-transgender, even though they're both hateful. Here's one from a pack called Black Bear, which a homophobic super pack called Black Bear.
Black Bear, incredible. Like I said, the lack of self-awareness, dude. The fact that they would name themselves Black Bear Pack. It's like, those are two things you hate so much. And they have no realization of that. Anyway, play the thing,
So here's one, supporting Patrick Morrissey, attacking Chris Miller. If you got it, Matt, play.
He, him, she, her, they, them. When Chris Miller was a board member at an in-state university, he looked the other way as pro-transgender events happened on his watch. Drag shows, a transgender homecoming gala, and even, quote, a trans closet that provided items to support sex changes for students. Chris Miller protected they, them, not us. Black Bear Pack of response.
So I don't even know where to start with that. So he's saying Chris Miller was on the board of a college where some kids hosted some trans or drag or gay friendly events. And therefore I don't even know what to do about the sex change closet. If you get a sex change in a closet, you wouldn't need transgender healthcare. It's way passing laws against it. Anyway, this is all fucking insane. Here's the counter ad where Chris Miller goes back at Patrick Morrissey, for being the real guy who's pro trans or whatever.
How low would you go to make a buck? As a lobbyist, Patrick Morrissey helped a leading provider of child sex change procedures, lobbying the government to pay them with seniors' Medicare. Morrissey even lobbied for a drug company that helps turn boys
into girls. Morrissey is small in stature, but has a big appetite for getting rich.
Right. You can cut it back. So he had to get in a fat joke at the end there, because not only is he pro-gay, but also large. Like this all deeply sucks, and I'm sorry to trans people that people like this in our country are out there fucking running for office. But it's also funny to think about, like, a trans person doesn't really follow the news, who sees these ads and think both these dudes rock.
Yes, they're both, whereas, like, I'm sure both, like, that, I don't know, I haven't looked into it, of course, but that second guy, I'm assuming, is like, oh, he lobbied for some big medical group that gave him money to do it or whatever, but they also had some subsidiary that did this trans shit or whatever, so it's, like, tangentially true or whatnot, but he didn't give a fuck, and then the first guy, was on the board of some university's committee or whatnot. And at the university, they had drag shows and shit. Cause of course they did. Cause it's a college and college kids are cool. But that makes him like a co-signer on, transgender queerness or whatnot. The whole thing is just, it makes me sad too, man. It does. Like, I cannot imagine being a transgender person watching the current state of America and how they are like public enemy number one for the American right. And every ad is built around like how offensive and upsetting their whole existence is. And the idea that they should even be what they are is like, anathema to being an American. And that it's a real shame. It's a real shame.
We'll do this Gomez lady another time, Matt, because we're running out of time. But I do acknowledge an anniversary here that's sort of related to all this. Friday will be the 20th anniversary of America's first legal gay marriage. 20 years ago this week, David Wilson and Rob Compton entered into a marriage that some believe would bring on the apocalypse. I'm reading here from the Wall Street Journal. And you know what happened next? No fucking apocalypse. Nowadays, they're still married. They're happily retired and spend their time volunteering and visiting with their grandchildren. All right.
I've always thought that whole thing was always so funny to me. The idea that, like, look, you're married, you have fights, you fucking go after each other, it happens. But the idea that the root cause of that would be that gay people are happy somewhere, I mean? Was always funny to me. It's just like, did you leave the garage door open? It's like, no, it's the goddamn gay married couples. That's who did it, Katie. I've never understood how my marriage was supposed to be affected by someone else's marriage. I don't care how gay they are.
It's because what will come next was dog marriage, remember? And then of course, why we marry a human lady when you can marry your dog, I guess, or whatever. I don't fucking know what these people think. But I just want to say, like, if anything is destroying America, it's not these two nice retired guys with grandchildren. It's the people making ads like that. And in 20 years, their stupid panicking over that will look just as fucking stupid if America still exists in its current as a liberal democracy.
I know.
It'll look just as stupid going forward. And it's just like, you just got to wait out these dumb fucking dipshits until it's normal.
I know for our crowd, it totally goes without saying, but still, it's like the idea that they're wrecking America and they're the ones shoving their ideology down everyone's throat when literally all they want is to be treated the same as every other regular person drives me up the fucking wall. That's the only thing they've ever asked for, is treat them like you treat other human beings. And that is so offensive to these people that they, lose their minds and make campaign ads and try to demolish everything about what they are and act like it's a threat to everything we hold dear. And it's fucking like bullshit.
J.K. Rowling has rejiggered her old personality to be around being mad about pronouns and people, changing their names to opposite genders or whatever. But she gets mad when people call her Joanne, which is her given name. It's like, you're so close to fucking getting it. But so we have because gay marriage has been around for a couple of decades now and federally legal for 9 years. So let me quote here from the Wall Street Journal. The widespread public approval suggests most people don't believe the horrors once forecast have resulted from same-sex marriage legalization. Now there's evidence to prove it. A comprehensive new research report by the RAND organization finds the consequences of 2 gays of legal same-sex marriage have been broadly positive for gay and straight Americans alike. The researchers could find no negative effects on straight couples' rates of marriage, divorce, or cohabitation in states legalized same-sex marriage. In fact, the effect on different-sex marriages was slightly positive. More straights are getting married now. Yeah. Meanwhile, same-sex couples...
Property values go up. The whole neighborhood gets better. You know, yeah. We all benefit.
And of course, I'm just want to be treated the same way as other people. Same-sex couples saw a range of improved outcomes, such as greater health and financial security, because they have joint banking accounts, nag each other over drinking too much, and be able to visit each other in the hospital and drive each other to doctor's appointments like normal married people. There we go. Everybody, yeah. I just hope when we laugh at these past moral panics, one of the reasons I like doing it is to be like, well, what are we doing now that's the fucking same, right?
Right.
Since we keep doing it over and over again. All right, let's get into the main segment. You want to?
Yes. I could talk about that for 3 more hours, but yes, let's go. Let's get into it.
Yeah, so you texted me and Matt this morning, and it was pretty funny. I know you were being funny, but it was just funny because you said, hey, you're trying to come up, figure out your take for your video today, and you're like, are tariffs good, LOL?
Yeah. Please tell me, Mark. I mean, that's what happens every week because it's like, Mark, tell me how to feel about this thing.
All right.
So, yes, are tariffs good? I can't decide.
And the answer is everyone disagrees / it depends, right? So and what occasioned this was Biden administration announced they're going to raise tariffs on like a bunch of stuff coming in from China, like electric vehicles, computer chips, and stuff like components of solar panels and the like. I understand why he's doing it, especially in election year. It's probably part of his deal to secure the endorsement of a lot of unions. His stuff's popular in the Midwest. And like there's like economists are going to shit all over it and pro-free trade people because they look at like a graph going up and think that's the main thing. And like, I understand like for broad prosperity, you want the graph to go up. But there's also other stuff factors in this, like, you know, national security, getting all your computer microchips from China and being dependent upon China for solar panels. So everybody can have electricity feels like not the best idea. Plus just bringing jobs back to America and all that shit. That's not purely of economic, not purely of, about being bringing benefits to the larger economy. But like the reasoning for it's funny to me because the Biden administration says that the Chinese electric vehicles, for example, are unfairly subsidized, which is like, how dare a government invest in a green energy transition?
Right. Well, yeah. And it's also like, you know, there's, you know, the like, oh, it's unfairly subsidized by the government. And so it's not a fair competition. It's like, we care about fair competitions now. Right, you know what I mean? And this kind of like, listen, like fundamentally, I think it should be a level fair playing field, but I'm just saying it's kind of funny coming from our government. The idea that it's like, oh, this is fundamentally unfair. This competition.
Also, you're doing trade with a country that's at least nominally communist, and you're accusing them of cheating in capitalism. And I'm like, I don't know.
That's the whole thing, right?
You chose to trade with them, right. Sort of like.
And it's my main thing with, and I'm sorry if I'm like stepping on anything or skipping ahead, but my main thing was it's like the idea is it's supposed to be. I'm all for, because again, I think like, oh yeah, we should. I don't give a fuck about actual fair and free markets generally, but I'm not a free market person. I don't give a shit. So like,
neither does anyone else. That's what we're getting to. Yeah. Right.
If they're playing on a different playing field and we need to level the playing field for American companies and bring some of this shit back to America. I'm from a town that was absolutely destroyed by NAFTA. So I'm all for bringing the manufacturing of any kind back to America and investing in American jobs and all that shit. I love that. I don't give a fuck how anti-capitalist it may be or whatever. I'm for it. But I just don't trust that the current state of American industry is going to, you know, utilize these advantages in that way. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think about like, they're like, oh, well, you know, listen, guys, it's great. We're going to boost your businesses. You'll have increased revenues. You can use those increased revenues on things like innovation and expansion. And I expect them to be like, yeah, or we could do stock buybacks. That's what we could do. Like, I just expect them to just raise their prices to just below Chinese tariff prices. And then just roll with that and just rake it in and be happy with it and leave it at that. And that's what worries me about this shit. That's what I don't like about it.
That's the downside of EVs. We'll come back to EVs in a second. But the thing is, like, if you're a company that needs microchips, you can't just raise prices out of that problem. You're going to have to get your microchips from somewhere. And if Chinese microchips are super expensive, that gives an incentive for somebody to build them here in America. Then America has microchip facilities to put in our own products when and if China cuts us off for whatever reason, or if, you know, we go to war with China, yeah, which we don't want, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like you can't not buy the microchips, right?
So, well, actually, Mark, just not to divert us again, but you just said, lest we go to war with China, which we don't want. I read on Reddit earlier, some Reddit lunatics saying that, and I want to know what your take on this is, that both China and America are currently actively divesting themselves of each other. Because I've said for years, we talk about, oh, us going to war with China. I've been like, that ain't going to happen. Too many rich people are making too much money off of each other. But I saw some lunatics on Reddit today. So now I'm intrigued, saying that both countries are actively trying to divest from that and pull out from that because they expect to go to war with each other over Taiwan in the near future. What do you think about that? Is that insane?
I think it's more likely that we just had a global pandemic that shut down global supply chains, and everyone realized they were a little too interconnected and not self-reliant, but also it could be. But we haven't had a major power war in how long, because everyone has nukes and we know what it means.
Right.
So it's whatever. Not to disagree with the Reddit, people on Reddit, the real experts.
No, please do. I wanted you to. I was hoping you'd do that.
So I read a piece about Chinese electric vehicles this week. Some American reporter went to a Chinese auto show in Beijing and was basically like, holy shit, Detroit is fucked. There was like, had this super rad vehicles that cost like $12,000 US. And it was like, okay, so maybe Joe Biden read the same piece. But like, it should be a little bit embarrassing regardless of the merits of the policy, it should be a little bit embarrassing as an American that we have to keep Chinese electric vehicles out with tariffs and regulations instead of being like, we can make a better one for a better price. But
isn't part of that the way that, I mean, they have literal sweatshops and shit over there, and we at least try to pretend that we don't do that, right? I know we still don't treat our workers the way we should treat them, but that's why I'm saying, like, the idea of it, the way they present it, it's an uneven playing field because of shit like that, right? Which I understand. Right.
I'm not going to pretend that China's awesome. They do have a booming middle class. And also, when people talk about unfair competition from other governments, part of what they're complaining about is those companies don't have to pay for their employees' health care because the government provides it, right? Every American industry would be thrilled if we had national health care, because it would make them more competitive internationally, except for health insurance companies and hospitals. But anyway,
that's such a good point. Everything is always about lobbyists in this country. Mm-hmm. Every time. I never thought about that way until you said that, which happens a lot on this show. But yeah, damn shit.
So anyway, as far as the specifics of this, and people are comparing it to Trump's China policy, which is like, if you just summarize it, it sounds similar, but like Trump was like racistly trying to ban soybeans to juice votes in like the Midwest, right? And it's like, doing something because you think it's good to be racist is different from thinking it's good because it might be good for American manufacturing. And the details of the policy are different. And I'm not an economist. And you can read what economists write about it over the next decade or two, or what lobbyists are going to pay politicians to say about it when they unravel it, whatever. But I just think one reason I'm not super like moralistic about it, you're going to hear Republicans talk about meddling in the free market and whatever, is because it's just what we do here, and everybody rigs the market. We basically have an economy, this is the stage of capitalism we're in, where everything is a protection racket. And I wanted to show what I'm talking about by talking about a fun example of it. And if you play this video, Matt, it's not going to be what you it might be what you think. It's Ron DeSantis announcing a new policy to generate innovation in the anti-innovation sphere.
You will not be seeing any lab-grown meat on grills in Florida. Governor DeSantis made that official today, signing a bill that bans the manufacture and sale of cultivated meats. Fox 13's Aaron Mesmer has more on this new law.
This mouth-watering sizzle and sear is more science to stomach than farm to table, and that's why it won't be happening in Florida.
Take your fake lab-grown meat elsewhere. We're not doing that in the state.
That's the message behind the bill, Governor.
All right, you cut it, Matt.
So, dude, this upsets me so much because I had a stand-up bit about this for a while about how, like, oh, I know that vegans are right about so many of their arguments. I know they are, the environmental arguments and everything else. I just love cheeseburgers too much, and I'm a weak person. I'm a fat kid. I don't have the willpower. I apologize. But when this lab-grown meat shows up, I'm diving in head first. And there's people out there being like, oh, but lab-grown meat, that's disgusting. That's what kind of like mad scientist made-up meat is that? And it's like, I eat Taco Bell, dog. Like, Taco Bell ain't real meat. Like, I eat potted meat growing up. That's just ground-up pig assholes made into, like, redneck pate. It's like, I don't give a fuck. The stuff I've been shoving into my pie hole for 40 years, you think I'm going to, like, hold the line at lab-grown meat? Hell no. I can't wait till lab-grown meat shows up. And now, I should have seen this coming, but seeing that they're like they're blocking it on the front line, it's upsetting to me. One this time is a good answer, potentially.
One time I was at my friend Bobby Joe's house, and there was no food in the house. His mom was – we didn't – it was before we could drive, and his mom was at work. And there's the only food in the house was a can of potted meat and a can of Vienna sausages.
Yeah.
And so we paper, rock, scissors for who got who. And I thought I won because I got the Vienna sausages and he ate the potted meat. But then later we were like doing WWE wrestling stuff and he literally farted potted meat into my mouth. And I was like, I actually really lost this bet. Sure. So anyway.
Sure. But dude, that was like, I was, you know, I loved both of those food items when I was a fat kid in rural Tennessee. I didn't see anything wrong with it. It's like I said, dude, potted meat, hell, it's just trailer pate. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. You know, they just call it fancy because it's made out of real good meat. But anyway,
So since DeSantis signed this bill earlier this month, Alabama has joined them. Kay Ivey, governor of Alabama, signed a bill that makes it illegal for anyone to manufacture, sell, or distribute cultivated meat in Alabama. If you violate this law, it's a Class C misdemeanor, which could send you to jail for 3 months with a fine of $500. It's not just Florida, Alabama. Tennessee isn't far behind. They're considering a bill. Arizona and Texas have passed like tight restrictions on language and labeling to describe these products. And a senator from Nebraska has tried pushing for all this for this at the federal level. They're joined by Senator John Fetterman, Democrat from Pennsylvania, who wrote, "As some dude who would never serve that slop to my kids, I stand with our American ranchers and farmers." Now, Fetterman went to Harvard. As a person who's actual white trash, not a fake white trash like he is, we love serving slop to our kids.
Of course. What we just
Sloppy
said.
Joe's. I grew up on fucking casseroles, which basically consisted of whatever about to go bad, vegetables and meat my mom could dump into some fucking cream of mushroom soup.
I ate almost exclusively slop as a trailer baby in rural Tennessee. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I grew up eating that shit. I have no problem with lab grass. Like, honestly, I feel like Fetterman's being fucking elitist right now. That's how I feel about it. You got a problem with this slop? It's like, we love slop, goddammit. Give me some ethical slop. That's what I've been waiting on my whole life. You know, also Fetterman, man, I mean, he's like, I don't know. I loved him so much when he came out, and he's taking some wild.
And now he's so insanely pro-Israel that his wife left him.
I didn't know that. Guy. Literally, she left him over that.
According to the internet rumors, but he did give away the game there, where he said, "Where I stand with our ranchers and farmers," which is similar to the language that DeSantis used there. We will save our beef. This is purely about protecting the interests of meat
lobbyists.
Packers.
Yes, like they're saying, it's always all about lobbyists every time. Right. That's what it comes down to. It's not about the greater good or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the way I look at it, as far as that, like, dude, I don't want dairy farmers or whatever to be put out of a job and all that. I don't want that to happen. But we already subsidize the ever loving shit out of so many different types of farmers and stuff in this country. I really think we could figure something out. Right. Subsidize them for a little bit, transition them into something else. We could do it if we wanted to. They just don't want it to happen.
Right. Are you saying that the government would ever meddle in the free market to help save ranchers after the government has meddled in the free market to save them before and then destroy whatever they're doing now?
All the time. All the time.
But also, like, the idea, like, we're not talking about small family farms like I grew up on. We're talking about big agribusiness, like the big four, like factory farmers and the big four meat packers like Tyson, JBS, Cargill, and National Beef. if by the way, we're talking about a free market here. If cell cultivated meat isn't really isn't desirable, it shouldn't be a threat to the cattle industry. Like if it tasted bad, but it makes people sick, it won't fucking nobody will buy it anyway.
That's capitalism, baby. Ostensibly,
they're also like banning something that doesn't exist yet. Like the last thing I read about the existence of this hypothetical product, it's super expensive and resource intensive to like create like an ounce of lab grown meat. Like is the chains of amino acids they need and the amount of like electricity they need and power. It's like, it's not nearly feasible to like bring to market. So they're just like hitting an empty pinata with a bat that says farmer on it. It's so weird. Mm-hmm. But like, you're right. The promise of this is huge. Like globally, a lot of people are dumping money into this because it would solve a lot of problems if it worked.
So
like the livestock industry is responsible for 15% of all greenhouse gas emissions, not to mention the transmission of zoonotic diseases, which I think we all agree after the last 4 or 5 years, pandemics do not hit, right?
Right.
The massive amount of land it requires that we could use for, I don't know, fucking housing that we need. Or, like, there's also the inherent animal cruelty about it, which a lot of people don't want to think about or don't care about. I just choose not to think about it myself, but because I like, you know, how chicken wings taste.
Yes.
But I was also thinking, like, is there any other kind of food that's banned in America? I mean, it's not, like, full of poison or something. It's banned just for the type of food it is.
Mm-mm.
I couldn't think of one.
No, right? I can't think of one either. If the gays had some sort of official tart or something, then they might be working on banning that. But, yeah, I can't think of anything.
So, like, I realize it might be, like, some,
well,
like,
I mean,
like,
well, you know,
you can't get, like, European baby food that's not approved by the FDA or whatever. But, like, but I'm talking about, like the right. concept of baby food isn't banned in America.
Well, I was going to say you can't, like, but even then, I don't know if there's actual laws on the books. We just don't do it. But I was going to say, like, you can't eat dogs, you can't eat cats, stuff like that. I don't know if that counts, you know. Do we have laws about that? I don't even know. Or do we just not choose not to do that? I have no idea.
There was, like, a horse butchering farm in, like, I think Texas that was shipping to France that got shut down, but I'm not sure. Anyway, but you're right. There might be categories of animal that we don't butcher, but I'm not sure if you killed your dog and ate it, would you be in trouble as an individual? I don't know. But anyway, like I was trying to figure out foods or like, so I Googled, is pork illegal in Iran? And it turns out it is, but like, would Iran prohibit lab grown pork? Cause would that violate the Quran? I don't know.
Right.
We need an interview like a progressive science forward mullah who wants to eat like a Frankenstein BLT.
I mean, if I know fundamentalist religious people, and I feel like I do, it absolutely would violate the Quran. You know, because I just assume the whole thing with them is like this ain't natural, this ain't God's plan, this ain't how things are supposed to be. And I really doubt that Iranian Muslims are any more forward thinking on that subject than American Christians are. Sorry, opinion.
You mean the mullahs? Iranian people are a lot of them are really cool.
Well, I said Muslims, but I meant yes. I mean the ones running the show. Yeah,
yeah.
Not just the people.
The hardcore like Islamo-fascist fucking dickheads who have women executed for not wearing a hat, not wearing a scarf. But the thing about it here is like, since we're all running protection rackets here, I was like, what's the protection racket for consumers? I'm like, oh, the government. You pay them taxes and they're supposed to keep you from getting fucked, right? They're the mafia who's supposed to save you. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So as we speak, the pharmaceutical lobby is suing to stop Joe Biden from cutting prescription drug prices. The banking lobby is suing to stop Biden from capping credit card late fees. Now the airline industry is suing to stop Biden from requiring them to clearly disclose fees up front, not hide them. Like when you get to the airport, like, oh, it's another $50 for your bag, right? So like, this is what happens when companies that are used to having the government protect their profits get mad about you trying to make them be honest about what they're actually charging people, right? Mm-hmm. This is like, because like, this is what American capitalism actually is. It's protection rackets.
Absolutely.
And I think, and there's like an asymmetry of American myths when it comes to capitalism and money. Like the rich people know the truth about all the myths we tell people are fake, that like capitalism is about competition, for example. It's not. And I've heard one rich guy say it out loud. This is before he has heel turn, years before he has heel turn. But I remember Elon being on The Daily Show and he was talking about starting PayPal. And he was saying that like, it's a lie that capitalism is about competition. You don't want to compete with somebody who's already entrenched in the marketplace. What you want to do is you want to figure out something no one else is doing and then do that. But he left out the second part of it, which is once you get entrenched in the marketplace, you do everything you can to keep people from beating your competition.
Right. Yes.
Includes regulatory capture, lobbyists capturing the government, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Like if you like, for example, if you have a big, huge herd of cattle and somebody invents lab grown meat, you got to be like, fuck, I got to pay Ron DeSantis to make that illegal. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, like, if Joe Biden's meddling in the free market to protect electric vehicle manufacturers and American companies who make solar panels, what the fuck is this? All right. This huge bribe story came out this week in the Wall Street Journal. I know we got to wrap up soon. Trump had a gathering of fossil fuel CEOs at Mar-a-Lago where he basically told them they need to give him $1 billion. Because if he gets reelected president, he's going to fulfill all their wants and wishes if he gets back in office. These are all allegedly competitors. Now, this is important here. This is Exxon, Chevron. These companies are allegedly up against each other in the free market. They're at the same meeting talking about combining to pay the same guy to do all the same thing. Where the fuck is the actual competition? Right?
Yeah. You know what I'm
saying? Like, so they said they were stunned with the ask, according to the Washington Post. But then they said the billion dollar deal would only be a deal for the fossil fuel industry. That's what Trump said. And an anonymous industry source, after saying he was stunned, said Trump is likely to get the money. So they're gonna pay him the money he's demanding in exchange for giving them whatever they want, you know, to get rid of green energy competition. And everyone knows this is happening,
right?
And we still believe in the free market.
It's the whole thing with this whole country, dude. It's not about voters or constituents or any of that. I don't know when the last time it was about that, if ever. It's about moneyed interest and lobbyists. That's what it's about. I've told this story a million times, but still a brief version of it. I went to Tennessee as kind of a journalist to do this thing for Attention Media, a pilot they were doing for HBO. And I interviewed all these people regarding a legal weed bill that was coming out in Tennessee, all these Republican state level Congress people. And I asked them all, it's like, in your constituency in rural Upper Cumberland, Tennessee, or wherever, what percentage of people are against legalizing weed? And every one of them across the board was like, oh, pretty much nobody. You know, you'll meet a person every now and then, but almost nobody is really against it. And I was like, so what do you think are the odds are that this will
pass? Let me guess. Booze companies, pharma,
cops, and prisons, right? Yes, those things. And they were like, but yeah, the guys I talked to, they were like, the guys who authored the bill, they're like, well, some of our colleagues in Congress haven't been convinced. And I literally asked them, I was like, what's it matter if they've been convinced? I was like, if their constituents think this, it's irrelevant what they think. And they were like, well, you know, there are varied interests that are still not really on board. And they tried to like say it diplomatically, but basically they're saying these people are bought and paid for by these different moneyed interests. And it doesn't matter what the fuck you want as an American voter. Like, they don't care. It's irrelevant. And they're pretty open about it, really. They try to like couch it in some sort of like cryptic terms, but they'll pretty much tell you that that's how it works. And that's like, I think that is the number one problem with our American society or our government as it stands now is that, I think, the way money works in politics.
David Teets is reminding us to remember to smash the like button, then go and enjoy some potted meat. Thanks, Dave. So I wanted to mention a couple of new quick aspects of this map before if we maybe squeeze in some comments in a second. This seems like a pretty big bombshell of Trump's demanding $1 billion ransom from oil companies in exchange for doing them favors to destroy the planet. But per Media Matters, basically only MSNBC covered this story. Maybe this will help. U.S. lawmakers are some Democrats in Congress are demanding via a letter that Exxon, Chevron, and Chesapeake Energy tell them what Trump said at this meeting. So maybe the letter will get them to cooperate and get some news out of this, because they're not making enough noise about this shit. Like, this week, the Federal Trade Commission accused the ex-CEO of Pioneer Energy of colluding with OPEC. An organization of economies that are absolutely our enemies, that did 9/11 and run an oil cartel to extract wealth from American fucking consumers to set prices. Every now and then I try to give Democrats political advice. He's this guy. This guy's name is Scott Sheffield. He's been referred for criminal investigation by the FTC to the FBI. I'm like, perp walk the fuck out of this dude in front of 1,000 cameras. Stitch it together with Trump's $1 billion bribe from American oil companies and get this some fucking news in here, because like, this is like evil, crooked shit. And it's as much blame as Joe Biden got for oil prices. And we found the guys who are actually doing it.
Right.
and it can't even get a news cycle out of it.
Right. So, yeah, because yeah, there's people, probably because people don't know their names already. You know what I mean? People know Joe Biden's the president. So that hits harder when you blame him for stuff. You blame some nameless executive, like average person doesn't give a fuck. There's so many problems with both money and politics, but also the way our media works and all that. And the whole thing is going to end up with us.
Democrats don't work for it. Like if this was a lab grown meat company that had been caught poisoning people or something, the political dynamics were fixed here.
Right.
Republicans would make sure this Scott Sheffield dickhead was a fucking household name.
Right.
They would say it over and over and over again. Just like, I wouldn't know Hunter Biden's name if they weren't good at this. Right. Shit.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So like, I don't know why they don't do politics.
Right.
It's pretty frustrating.
It's so frustrating. They continuously frustrate us all. But what's not frustrating is that you guys keep watching the show. We appreciate it. As we close up, I want to remind you, go to treycrowder.com and check out my upcoming dates. If you're in Oklahoma, come see me at Bricktown in OKC this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun, I promise you. Buffalo and Pittsburgh, you're next up next weekend. Virginia and Florida and everywhere else beyond. We'll see you out there. Go to treycrowder.com. Also, to check out me and Corey's book, Round Here and Over Yonder, Comedic Travel Guide. Get the audio book. And lastly, if you want to support this show and get more of it, go to weeklyskews.com/more or go on Patreon and look for my name. Either way works. Sign up. You get full-length bonus episodes and support the show in the process. The main thing is you keep watching this here program on Skews. We'll keep making it. We appreciate you. See you. Love you. Bye.